It's opening day at Fenway. Zoe and Beetle are live at Lucky Strike Social on Lansdowne with Budweiser Legendary Lager for legendary moments on the Sports Hub.
Hey, Zoe.
What's up, Beetle?
Opening day.
Yeah.
Here.
A little different than others.
Ready to go.
A little bit different than others.
It's cold out, man.
I think it took 21 minutes for my hands to thaw out. And I have my big Down Goose parka on. Folks, if you're coming to the game today, do not forget gloves and mittens. It is freaking cold.
It's not baseball weather.
Hard to
get in the mood for that.
There you go. Go for a little bit.
So let's do this. Let's talk football.
Yep. Let's do it.
We'll get to the Red Sox.
Let's go to Hot Topic stuff. We played the hits.
Yeah, we got some Bruins to get to today as well. That's for sure.
Sure.
But let's go back to what we were talking about a little bit yesterday with the Patriots, with everything that is swirling and going on, and it's just a weird time.
All the unrest,
it's a weird time for the Patriots.
Well, it seems like it's a big time of change, however you want to look at it. You know, the I keep going back to the current article, and I reread it again yesterday, the one where it seems like you're leaving a party and you checked your coats at the door, and everybody's passing their tickets in, and you know, it's kind of this is the breakup. And that was a while ago when he wrote that. This is to where, I don't know, maybe you're starting to serve the dinner. Starting to serve the dinner a little bit. And now you're starting to wonder, should I eat this much, or we have dessert coming? And you start looking at your watch. That's kind of what it feels like to me.
Well, this is not just a local thing either. There's a national look at this. Everyone's talking about it. This doesn't just relate to Boston and what's being said here. Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports, FS1, he does his show every day. He weighed in on this a little bit as to what's going on with the Patriots making the moves they've made. That includes a trade of Brandon Cooks. Here's Cowherd's take on what Belichick might be doing to Brady.
Here's what New England has done. I am supposed to believe this is a coincidence that in the last 4 to 5 months, when Brady and Belichick have now a published and well-documented fracturing issue, Belichick has let Tom's number one running back go, Deion Lewis. His number one deep threat yesterday is now a Ram, Brandon Cooks. His backside protector, Nate Solder, is now gone. Cameron Fleming, who was the starting right tackle at the end of the year, gone. And because Julian Edelman was out, who was his number one playoff receiver last year, Danny Amendola, they let him go. Five key offensive players have all been allowed to walk out the door. So that means Tom Brady goes into this year at 40 with his two best offensive pieces, 32-year-old Julian Edelman off an ACL surgery, and the not physically reliable Gronk. If one of them gets hurt, Tom Brady has never had a football team where he will have to pull it more than this year.
Okay, five is too strong. Let's say four. We're not counting Cam Fleming.
Cam Fleming's a stretch.
Sorry.
I liked how he tried to dress the Cooks thing up as his number one deep threat. That never came to be. Sorry, Gronkowski's your number one deep threat. Fourth and 10, third and 15, Tom needs to make a play in the clutch. You think he's chucking it up to Brandon Cooks? No.
No, but he means deep threat in terms of stretching the field.
Right.
That's what he's talking about.
Right.
He's not wrong to say that.
No, he dressed it.
So that's what he's got there, that if nothing gets done between now and the start of the season, Brady will have to pull it harder than ever before. Is he wrong?
No.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all.
In our initial reaction yesterday, him listening to Peter King, when he said, well, they're going to use these picks to probably reload on offense. We were like, what? No, they have needs on defense.
And the funny thing of all this, and I totally agree with him. Like, he's going to – it's all on him, and it always is on him. As much work as Belichick does, or Nick Caserio, and all the draft workouts that they're doing, no matter who they bring in and how much they bolster this defense, and I think they're looking hard defensively from what somebody told me. Because right away the reaction to me was OBJ and a quarterback. If to acquire these picks, they're going to move up and get one of those guys, or maybe a package. I'm totally told no way on OBJ. And they may draft a quarterback. I think they're going to draft one the second, third round, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to move up in the first round to get a Lamar Jackson. Like, I know a lot. We'll get to all that
but
stuff.
But if they don't replace Amendola and they don't really replace Brandon Cooks and they roll with what they got.
As much as you
feel great about that?
I don't know.
We already don't feel great about their defense. We already feel like they've got needs there that they may address.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to add to that. I have faith in that. You got Hightower back. You got a lot of things working for you defensively. They can help you, but that's all. Can, shoulda, woulda, coulda. As much as they think internally that they are getting ready to turn the page from Brady to the next guy, and maybe Jimmy was supposed to be that guy, they need Brady more than ever. Belichick needs Tom to be Tom more than ever.
So part of this conspiracy theory by Coward.
Belichick needs Brady more than Brady needs Belichick.
Is that Belichick is basically putting Brady in a spot to fail. Or he's putting him in a spot where more of it's going to be on him this year than what was on him last year because we have needs on defense. Tom, we got to move on from some of your guys and you figure it out offensively. We got to build up the defense. And it's going to be harder for him. And at the end of that, Bill's making the case that age has caught up with Tom.
I know why people would term it that way, but teams change year to year, and teams are going to be different. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, where the way they did it last year, going to get Cooks, the Ely, getting this guy, that guy, trying to bring, break the bank for Stephon Gilmore. They're going back to basics and draft and develop guys and try and, help build this thing the way they did it with Hightower, with Chandler Jones, and Jamie Collins, and do it the right way. Draft McCourty, whether it was Mankins, you pick guys, Solder, and they're your cornerstays for years to come. Brandon Cooks never worked here. As much as we like to say we let him walk out the door.
Oh, that's so wrong. What do you mean he never worked here?
For what you gave up to get him. And what we saw in August, going back to the Cooks discussion from yesterday.
Yeah.
Bill made better on the deal. He moved up 8 spots.
So what? That doesn't mean he didn't work here.
It gives you a chance to get some. Beetle, you and I sit here and we watch it. It didn't look right.
Yeah, he didn't live up to what we thought he could be, but he didn't. I don't want to have this whole discussion. I feel like we did this for 4 hours yesterday.
We did. But
he worked
it's all
here.
Part of it.
He was fine here.
Yeah.
He was better than a lot of guys that were first-year players here. Stack him up against first-year receivers in New England and tell me where he ranks.
Right, but he was a proven player by then.
So I'm not talking about proven player or draft picks.
Yeah.
I'm talking about guys who had their first year in New England. Where does he rank? My guess is pretty good. I haven't done that
better
math,
than he gets credit for.
I'm guessing he was
better
just
than
fine.
He gets credit for. Yep.
I don't care. I mean, sorry. I don't care for the it never worked here. He was a bad player. No.
Didn't say he was a bad player.
He worked here. It worked. What didn't work about him?
He forced to fit it. It's like throwing a spare tire on.
Well, they spare tired him to the way of over 1,000 yards receiving.
Spare tire can take
and
you far.
And he was our second leading receiver, trailing Rob Gronkowski by 2 yards.
Yeah.
So, I think he did just fine. I'm not disappointed in the performance. I thought he could have done more. I thought maybe that would be coming in year two. But we're not going to see that. And so, I think this all relates back to Bill in the way that people are questioning him now because of the Super Bowl decision on Malcolm Butler as to do you want to be right or do you want to win? And I think that people are going to start doing the same thing as it relates to Brady. Do you want to be right about Brady getting old and how you should have kept Garoppolo? Or do you want to win and do what's best for the next couple of years? And what does he do here at this draft? Is it a long-term play? Does that mean Bill's sticking around?
Is it
a short-term play and he's not sticking around?
Like if Bill's short-term,
there's some more questions here.
If Bill's short-term, this is all about Bill and Bill winning on the way out. You keep Cooks. You do other things. You package it even more. It's looking like you're loading up to make a run.
617-779-0985. There's also a follow-up to the Lamar Jackson conversation we had yesterday. Mike Lombardi, whose son was a coach at Louisville with Lamar Jackson, weighs in on Lamar Jackson making the transition to the NFL.
It's good stuff.
I think it's very interesting. You said this on a Ringer podcast, so we will get to that. Coming up next with your calls, we are live today from Lucky Strike, just behind Fenway Park for opening day.
Baseball, bowling, Budweiser, Zolak and Bertrand are live at Lucky Strike Social at Fenway for opening day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Zolak and Bertrand from Lucky Strike, which has a ridiculous arcade on the second floor. That came out of nowhere.
This place is dope.
I didn't know that existed. It's nice. So check it out. This place will be filling up as the day goes on.
Good place to bring a kid. Like, they got a bar down there.
Yeah, good place.
You sit at the bar and turn a kid loose.
Yeah.
That's something to do in Boston. Always looking for something to do with the kids.
There's a quarterback update. There's a report that just came out during
The
break. If I could fire this up, I'd have it here. Being on the road. The joys of being on the road. Basically, Manish Mehta is reporting that the Patriots are taking a look at Baker Mayfield. Now, I don't know what that means at this time. Other than they're taking a look. I mean, they take a look at everybody this time of year.
Nick Caserio at Lamar Jackson's pro day. I mean, it's...
Beto, you want it? I got exactly how it's worded here if you want it.
Okay.
Yeah, can you read it?
It says, could the evil empire rocket all the way up to number 2 by making a deal with the Giants?
Oh, my God.
A few teams in the top 10, including the Jets, are fully aware of the Patriots' affinity for Mayfield.
Affinity? They have an affinity for Mayfield.
That's a little more than interest.
Yeah. Yeah.
To move to number 2? Yeah, crack smoker. He likes throwing stuff against the wall and stirring it up down there, though. I give him credit. That's a good tweet. Piques my interest. I like Mayfield.
Not a tweet. It's a full article.
It's a full story that he posted.
Jesus.
He posted a link to the story in the New York Daily News.
Did you stick that in Slack, Jim?
Jets mailbag. Gangrene is divided on which quarterback to draft, and in that story is that there's a belief among top 10 teams that the Patriots are taking a hard look at Baker Mayfield.
I love the fact that they probably won't do that, but it's
you
in
love
the Jets
that guy,
head.
Don't you?
I do like that guy. I think he's got moxie. I think he can play.
Maybe.
I thought,
he seems like a dink.
Oh, he seems like a total dick. But, I mean, you go back to that combine, and I told you I watch every guy throw. There were two guys I thought threw the best at the combine. Him and the kid from Richmond, Lauletta. Kid from Wazoo wasn't bad either. The Rudolph kid from Oklahoma State seems like a little bit of a big doughy dude. You know, and I've talked about that with Josh Allen too. But I thought Mayfield handled himself the best, and he kind of surprised people. He was accurate on all his throws, showed zip on the ball, but he looked short. Like, and I know there's the Drew Brees comparisons, but
yeah,
when you watch him play, he, like, Brees, and he resonates bigger to me. You know, Brees is always upright chest, keeps the ball high. You know, he seats it up around the shoulder, and it's an over-the-top delivery, and his legs are always balanced under. Mayfield's like that too, but he looks a lot squattier.
So there's that, and then there's also this. There is Mike Lombardi on the Ringer podcast. All these guys doing their podcasts. He's got something on Lamar Jackson. And, you know, these rumors and possibilities about Lamar Jackson coming to the Patriots, that's something we discussed yesterday. But listen to this and tell me if you think this is making it more likely or less likely that Bill Belichick would be in on Lamar Jackson.
If he goes to one of these 12 teams, he should redshirt. If he gets the Cardinals draft him, redshirt him.
Yeah, because have Bradford out there.
Have Bradford out there. Because part of the redshirt is you have to figure out what offense you are going to run. Just hypothetically say the Patriots pick Lamar Jackson. Let's just say they do that. So Lamar Jackson would be the third quarterback on their team.
All right? Behind Hoyer.
He would have a package of plays that he could run. Dress on Sunday, maybe two-point plays, maybe some things. But they would, it would give them a year to develop an offense, because one thing I can tell you with 1,000% certainty, Lamar Jackson's not running Tom Brady's offense. Oh, and by the way, neither is Josh Rosen, neither is Sam Darnold, neither is Josh Allen,
Rudolph,
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, yeah.
None of them are running Tom Brady's offense. So whatever the Patriots do at quarterback, they're going to have to modify and adjust their offense. And this year time, as they draft a guy, will allow them that modification. That's what I think. And so Lamar redshirts, and then you build an offense around him. To me, that's the right formula.
I think it's more likely.
He totally.
I hear that, and he says, you know what? No matter who it is, for a team like the Patriots, that's a redshirt year, that's learning, that's trying to adapt, that's trying to create something for the player, and all these guys are all the same right now. So the Patriots, the way I interpret it, could look at Lamar Jackson the same way they'd look at anybody else in this draft.
He totally categorized him right there. He told you exactly what Lamar Jackson is and what it needs to be for him to be given a chance to make it work at the next level, taking the athletic receiver part out of it. If you're going to be a quarterback, the teams that should be interested in him and be willing to draft him are teams that are set at the quarterback position with an aging veteran, to have a guy there that could be not even an aging veteran, but even a team, say, like Cleveland or the Jets. You know, you got a Josh McCown, or you got an A.J. McCarron. I mean, you got, or Buffalo, who's got A.J. McCarron. Buffalo could be an outlier in all this, and that's a team sitting there once the other big three are going to be gone, to where you want him to sit for 2 years. Didn't Steve McNair sit at the beginning of his career? Played at Alcorn State. God, I forget who the starter was. Was it O'Donnell? I can't even remember. No, it wasn't O'Donnell. It was somebody else that had a McNair at the time. But I remember McNair talking about, you know, how much you learn as far as and how tough it is for a rookie. And offense is so much different. And the reading of defenses is different. He's not a high completion passer. He has extreme athletic ability. But he's right. You would have to completely package the offense to make it his. And I talked to Mike about this when he was here, you know, with the Patriots, talking about Brady. He goes, all my years of football, I've never seen anything like this. As far as this guy's ability to understand an offense, make it his, but just during a play, change five things during the play because he sees something. No other quarterbacks operate that way. They don't. But, I mean, that's 18 years into it, and it's his offense. So we can sit here and talk about the pace of the Ron Earhart scheme, and, yeah, maybe Jackson has a little bit of that, but they'll never be able, say, Brady, if Brady would go down, throw this kid in the game and say, go run our offense. You can't do that. That's not fair to him.
So to go kind of in the theme of all these moves that are being made this offseason, I look at Bill, and I don't think he's going to be close to done. I keep hearing Felger Maz every day talking about it.
I think it's
And they talk about him like he's coming back kicking and screaming. I know Maz has the theory that Robert Kraft went to Belichick and said, you know what, we'll give you the pay for 2 years or give you some sort of bonus to come back for another year. I don't get that sense out of all this. I get the sense that he wants to be the last man standing.
So I think that's, in essence, that's a win for him, right?
Yeah, tell
like, me. I just don't know what evidence we have.
I just
think it's odd. I've heard it the last couple of days. I think it's odd to make the claim that it's Bill that's close to leaving when it's everyone else that tells you they're close to leaving.
No.
It's the hints and the evidence come from Brady. They come from Gronkowski. What the hell do we have from Bill?
People that know Bill that I talk to say, all you got to know is you read the signs, you read between the tea leaves. You see the preparation. You see the crazy amount of preparation as far as being even more in 24/7 football, studying, going, that it has invigorated other people around him. And I talked to three people that were down at the owners' meetings down in Orlando that said Bill's in such a damn good mood. And it makes them scratch their head. You don't sit there and just be in a good mood and stop and smell the roses and, you know, bust your ass. Like, you tend to kick your feet up.
There's part of me that thinks he's so committed to that thing you're talking about that he wants to push everyone out the door and do it with somebody else.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to what we heard from Bert Breer going back, what, 5 years, 6 years, when he said, you know, he'd really
Brady.
He'd like to win without Brady, so that's never something somebody can say.
But also
about
this, too.
That he only won those Super Bowls with Brady. I think he's ready to get through the year and look at Brady and say, is this guy still committed? Is he still with it? Does he still have – I think there's some element there where this crazed football coach is going to be the last guy standing. He's not going anywhere. He wants to prove to everybody he's going to stick around, and he wants to do it without these guys.
Right.
Scares me.
And Parcells used to talk about bad losses and defeat, how much he hates freaking losing. And he told stories about it. You know what I do? You guys come on a plane. You're back there gambling. You're eating your meals and that. You know what I do up there in the first seat?
Yeah.
I throw up six times in my mouth, and I swallow it, and I do it again as I sit here and watch your third down reel. But that's a guy that it means something to him. And Belichick is a football guy like we think and we know he is, and from the defensive background, he should be embarrassed from how they lost that game, that Super Bowl 52. And that should be sticking in the back of his head. It should be making him sleepless at night. And if that is, that means he ain't going anywhere. But if he could just accept that and tolerate that, that, you know what, okay. He doesn't want to go out on that. You don't want to get popped in the first round. Is that how you want to end as that coach? No, you probably want to win one more with this guy and still continue to say, you know what?
Yeah, and then he wants to keep going.
I'm turning it over. And I turned
I'm not convinced.
You know what I did?
That.
I left the cupboard stocked. I didn't strip the cupboard down like most coaches do. Look at the Raiders and what they've had to go through.
Who are the just think this. Who are the problems and who's getting in the way of Bill doing Bill's business? Who are the guys that are giving him headaches right now?
I don't think anybody. Because I think Bill does what Bill wants to do.
I don't know about that.
But I think Bill's going to do with it when they all come together.
I got to sit down and have a meeting with my quarterback and my owner for what? Because the quarterback cares about other different things now? Oh, what? Does the tight end want to play?
Right.
Or does he not want to play? I'm not dealing with these headaches. He looks at these things
as
headaches that he doesn't want to deal with.
The whole Tom versus time thing. Don't you think that had to be approved through Bill?
No, I don't.
No? You don't think it had to be ran past Bill?
No, I don't.
Wow. See, I do.
You've got an owner that sides with the quarterback. I don't think the quarterback has to run anything by Bill anymore. That's what I think.
Wow.
He needs something, he gets it. He's Tom Brady.
So, you know, like we sit here and Brady says, I look at the league, and this guy's doing this and that. I can do this. I can do this better.
What is there really in Tom versus
time? You mean to tell me Belichick doesn't do that?
Behind the curtain look.
It's access.
At anything that's Bill.
It's access.
Well, what's special access?
I don't know. It's a guy standing on his sideline. It's a guy up
there. They let local TV cameras on their sidelines at
times. I guess. Okay.
Right? I don't think there's any special access that wouldn't be granted to another media organization that's doing something. I don't know. That special.
I just wonder if Tom would walk in. Remember when Randy walked in?
The special behind-the-curtain stuff in Tom versus Time is at Tom's house in Brookline. It's not in the locker room at Gillette. It's up in a suite with Alex Guerrero where he was sent to because Bill wouldn't let the guy in the locker room anymore.
You know, Randy Moss walked into Bill's office and he's kind of nervous. He's going, you know, Coach, kind of want to have a Halloween party and
candy and costume.
Yeah, he's like, we want to invite the coaches. Do you think they? And he's hesitant. You know, like hell yeah. You think Brady walks? Hey, Bill, you know, I kind of want to do this Tom time thing, and you know, this good guy Chopra, he has this idea. You think it's okay? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't think it was quite that.
I
coaching.
Doubt it. 617-779-0985. We got some open phone lines.
Calls.
We'll get right to your calls after this.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Yes, it's the home opener for the Red Sox today. The Rays are in town. Looks like one of the bullpen days for the Rays as Yanni Chirinos will be getting the start opposite David Price. The lineup for the Sox, Mookie Betts will lead off. He's in right, followed by Andrew Benintendi. Hanley Ramirez at first, your DH, J.D. Martinez batting fourth. Then Xander Bogaerts at short, Rafael Devers at third base. Eduardo Nunez, your second baseman today. Jackie Bradley Jr. in center and Christian Vasquez behind the plate once again for David Price. Last night, the Celtics suffered a second straight loss, this time to the Toronto Raptors in Toronto, 96-78. They'll be home to play the Bulls on Friday night. Bruins in action tonight, paying a visit to the Florida Panthers. It's a 7:30 drop of the puck, so Judd Zerotte and Bob Beersby along with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 7 o'clock here on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and at the Masters, round one underway. Vijay Singh currently alone atop the leaderboard after jumping out birdie. He's 2-under through the first two holes. Headlines are brought to you by No Clue. Once again, Jim, this is the second time this week I've done this. Just come in here, talk to you, have a nice little chit-chat. No idea. It's a great opening day here in Boston for the Red Sox and Rays. They'll be taking the field a few hours from now while I kill time and tell you that the headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to getanoilchange.com now. Save up to $15 on your next oil change. Print out the coupon or pull it up on your mobile device. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports. I'll have more headlines in 30 minutes.
Just outside the Green Monster, Zoe and Beetle are enjoying a Budweiser at Lucky Strike Social on Lansdowne Street on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from Lucky Strike Social, just behind Fenway Park opening day. Before we get back to the phone, someone pointed out to me, very good point as well, that the other day we were talking about the idea that Josh McDaniels, you know, could be a candidate again, right?
Yeah.
Next year when free agent jobs open up, coaching positions open up, and how some people haven't ruled that out. There's also the fact that if he comes back, spurns the Colts, says, see you later, I'm going back to New England, doesn't that mean Bill's leaving? Does that feel like more of an ownership thing or more of a Bill thing, in your opinion?
Bill thing.
Here's what I haven't ruled out. Bill Belichick is not telling the whole truth to Josh McDaniels about this situation.
It was interesting how, you know, he started his first session with the media down there in Orlando. But he wanted to do it chronologically, and he first started to talk about Josh. And that's when I was like, my antennas went up. So for 4 weeks, you never discussed Indy, and all you guys did was talk playoffs and Super Bowl, and then you didn't realize he was leaving until he was packing his bags. And
here's what I think it
could
speak
to. What, he bring a brown box in? And,
yeah.
Hey, you know, see you, coach. I just want to say bye. I think there's more to it than that. I do.
I think
the re-stuff with, I'm going to open my world to you. What a crocker.
Which is bogus.
Yes.
Which is bullcrap.
I agree.
That's not true.
He already opened it to him years ago before he went to Denver.
Right.
He tutored him. He gave him a 3-inch double ring binder and handed it to him and said, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to understand to be head coach. But I think their relationship is great. I don't think Josh came back here, and I think they go to work every single day, and he doesn't have a clue what Bill's doing. I don't think Bill's that private that this guy's going to break his balls for you. And just, like he said, he's working his ass off right now. I think he's picking the next quarterback. I think that's the job they've given him. You got one job this offseason, Josh. We'll get talent around you, then you make the pieces work with Brady. But you go find that next quarterback.
Do you think Bill's going to let Josh pick that quarterback?
I do.
But it's not going to reflect on Josh. It's going to reflect on Bill's legacy, whether or not he leaves the covered bear.
Right? But with Bill's blessing.
I guess.
See, it was Billy. It was Billy O'Brien and Josh and company that fell in love with Garoppolo. Let's not forget they had Manziel and Garoppolo in the same day. So they're still interested in everybody.
Okay, but
like,
I'm talking about, you know, something far more extreme
than
that.
No, but I know. Bill gets so much credit for
it. We're talking about Baker Mayfield, and they're trading up into the top five or something
that's
like that.
It's not going to happen. That's ridiculous. Okay? I don't believe any of that.
I'm just telling you what's out there.
I know what's out there. I can put something out there, too. Okay? But, I mean, they get so much credit for Garoppolo. Like, he was handpicked, and they developed him because it's a good system, and you learn, and it's great coaching here. You could coach another guy up to do that. Now, I'm saying Jimmy's born with talent. We knew it right away when you saw him spin it. The kid's different.
Here's why I think that report is out there. The second part, that Josh is not ruling out going back into free agency as a head coach, it's because he doesn't believe Bill. Why would that be out there otherwise? Because he doesn't believe, he doesn't know for sure that when they get to the end of this year, Bill might be saying, you know what, yeah, I'm close to the end.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
I think, when we get there, Bill's saying, nah, I got more in me. No, I got a few more years. Oh, Josh, hang on another year. Yeah. And that's why I think McDaniels hasn't ruled out the possibility of turning around and saying, bye.
Yeah. Where's the
I'm
Super
leaving
Bowl?
Because this is never ending with you. You're going to go through this. Yeah. You're going to be like Brett Favre, going away, kicking and screaming, and oh, no, I'm done. Oh, wait, I'm back. Oh, I think I might be done. No, I've decided I'm staying. I can completely see that with Bill happening.
These guys are a different breed, he and Parcells. Football guys. You know what I mean? Look at
Parcells.
Am I
telling him he's
Parcells
close?
Couldn't leave.
Guess what Bill does?
It's a drug to him.
You might say, why would Bill do that? Why would Bill, you know, say he's thinking about being done if he's not really done? Oh, I don't know, because he just lost his entire coaching staff and didn't want to lose both coordinators in the same season.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want that to happen.
How about that, too?
Maybe he likes Josh. He thinks Josh is a good coach. He wants him around.
That's another thing we really didn't hit on. Bill emphasizing, hey, Y'all talk about how many guys we lost. We retained a lot of people. We have more people here than you think. Like, he was very defensive about that. You know, you lose Matt Patricia, or you didn't anoint this guy. Josh came back. You know, special team.
Here's what I think is going on.
Scar came back.
Let me give you a scenario. The owner is afraid the coach is leaving, and the coordinator is afraid the coach isn't leaving. Both of those things can be true.
Let's not be stupid, too, people, okay? When you hire your staff and you have your people around them, your people know what you're doing. Dante Scarnecchia, one of the best coaches positionally to coach in this league, retired. Bill Belichick coaxed him out of retirement to come back for something. What do you think Scar said? Oh, hi, Bill. Yeah, I'll come back for some money. Just give me more money. No, what are you coming back for, Scar?
To win.
You're giving him a plan. And it's Scar doesn't come out of retirement unless he knows what Bill's doing.
Troy in Dorchester, thought of the day from Troy. What do you got today, Troy?
How you guys doing today, man? So, Beto, you got such a knack for this, man. I enjoy listening to you so much because I think you hit it right on the head when you said that Bill wants to outlast Brady. He wants to outlast Gronk. He wants to outlast the superstar so he can say when he wins another Super Bowl as the head coach at 70-whatever, he can say, yeah, listen, guys, this was me that was the best. Tom was the best quarterback, but I was the best all around everything because I just won another Super Bowl without Tom. I really think that's what he's trying to do now. I didn't think that beforehand, but seeing him tool up right now, getting these draft picks, I think he's bent on something different now. Hey. He's like, I'm going to win without Tom. I think he's set on that now.
Ready? Bold prediction time. Bold prediction time. 2 years from now, McDaniels is elsewhere. Belichick is still right here in New England.
I think they're both still here in 2 years.
Okay. I hope so. I hope you're right.
If you're Gotham Chopra. Hey, Coach. Yeah, we just finished this pretty cool thing we did, this docuseries on Facebook Watch called Tom versus Time.
Yeah.
What do you think about Coach versus Time?
Coach versus Time.
What happened? Hey, and then kicking the nuts to Brady. you beat Time better than Brady beat Time.
Coach versus Time.
Would you watch?
BB versus Time.
There he is in the car riding around, him and Linda.
Something tells me that Gotham and Belichick are two different in terms of types of people they are.
Yeah.
Brady and Chopra, closer. 617-779-0985. It's opening day at Fenway. We are live from Lucky Strike Social.
Zolak and Bertrand, live at Lucky Strike Social at Fenway with Budweiser. Legendary lager for legendary moments. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand. Back to your calls. Danny in Somerville. Hi, Danny.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
So it sounds to me with all of this that the Pats kind of sound like, you know, that guy that keeps telling his mistress, I'm going to leave my wife, but never does.
Yes!
They're doing the exact same thing to McDaniels.
Perfect.
They're doing the exact same thing. McDaniels has got to be looking at this like, you know, you promised Jimmy G he was next in line. Now he's gone. At what point do people just say, my chance isn't coming? Are they just going to cut ties and, you know, go somewhere else? You know, ideally, yeah, you want to be the quarterback for the Pats. You want to be the coach. But if people aren't willing to step aside and the organization's not willing to give you that chance, at what point do you just say, I'm not losing my chance to go somewhere else?
Yeah, I think at some point that's why he's got that ability, as it was reported. He's not ruling himself out as a candidate for other coaching jobs in 2019.
Keep them all open.
He's keeping his options open.
Yep.
If he knows he's the head coach, he's not keeping the options open.
That's fair.
If he's been promised it in no uncertain terms, no, it's a good comparison. No, honey, I promise I'm leaving my wife. No, soon. It just needs a little more time.
Right.
It just needs a little more time.
I think we're going to stay together.
No, you know, I just, no, we're definitely getting the divorce. You know, it's just that these things are complicated. They take time.
I thought I, you know, you're pregnant, but I thought I wanted kids, but I don't know. I don't know now.
Now you're going down a different road, so.
I guess.
Back yourself up. No, I promise. This is the month.
Short's mine.
This is the month I leave her and I move out and I file for the divorce. I promise you. I promise you. Oh, you know, well, some things came up and, you know, she had an illness in her family.
Literally.
It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time. That could all happen. String him along. Mike in Maine on the Patriots. Hi, Mike.
Mikey.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, how are you?
So I got a couple points. Hopefully you got them. I'll try to be as quick as I can.
Now go ahead.
I think it was your station yesterday. You guys got the call from the guy who apparently had spoke to Guerrero, said everyone's coming back, and it seems like everyone's just kind of laughing at everyone here in the back, you know, Belichick and Bill. I mean, with what the, you know, what the Pats are doing, making moves for the draft, don't you guys think that it's kind of writing on the wall that, you know, Brady and Bill are coming back?
Coming back when? This season?
Like, well, I know. I mean,
well, God,
just the one season. I mean, obviously they're under contract. You know, I think they're coming back this year, but Brady kind of has to play for another 3 or 4 years. Fans will. What's that?
Not even the Pats fans.
Oh, I think three or 4 years is strong.
Doesn't Brady have to play at least
a long period of time?
Doesn't Brady have to play at least 2 more years if the whole method is going to work? And this is what you've been saying: Tom versus time. Tom versus time. You know, I'm going to prove that I could play into my 40s. You're not just going to play into your 41. I think he's got to at least do 2 more years. I don't think it's year to year with him. I think it's 2 years.
Maybe.
And then assess.
Maybe.
So.
Now, for Bill, though, it's not about physically breaking down. It's just about when you decide you don't want to do it anymore. When you feel like you've had enough. Two different things.
But I don't think Bill's that guy that wakes up that next day and says, you know what, I don't have it anymore. I'm good. He's got a plan, dude. He's got to have a plan. Everybody's got a plan. You got a plan. I got a plan.
Mike is in Pittsfield. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
Quickly, I think Indianapolis dodged a huge bullet not getting Josh McDaniels. Never mind a huge bullet. They dodged an RPG. That guy's super overrated. He would have destroyed the Colts. And the thought of him becoming our next coach really troubles me. But the reason I called is because of Belichick. You know, I was always a Bill we trust guy, but now I'm a Bill's got to go kind of guy. And
Bill's got to go. Wow.
Yeah, Bill's got to go. I mean, think about this. We got more for Brandon Cooks than we did for Jimmy Garoppolo. Why? Why did that happen? Because Bill is an egotistical, spiteful maniac. And I would love to see –
shopped him before the draft. If you shopped Garoppolo before the draft, you would have gotten 2 number 1s for him.
We could have franchised him and traded him.
How about getting 8 number 1s?
You couldn't franchise him. You would have never got him under the cap.
I mean, maybe –
You would have had to cut 6 guys that you didn't want to cut.
We traded a bunch of guys. I think the cap space is there now. But what my real question is to
it's
you,
still not.
Ryan Beadle.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think, say, Kraft fired Belichick? And I was hoping they would do that when they had that sit-down dinner at Davio's or wherever the hell they went. And if they did fire Belichick, would he even try to coach another team in the league? And would he have success?
If he was fired, he absolutely would. He absolutely would go somewhere else.
But would he have success, Beadle? Do you think he'd be a good coach in another organization?
I do. He's a hell of a football coach.
I think his method is outdated. It's hard for him to gather.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Come on. Come on, Mike.
And a lot of people think it's just easy that Kraft would fire him. Bill would have to do something.
Is he going to be a good coach?
For Robert Kraft.
Come on.
For Robert Kraft, who is very loyal to people that work hard for him and build the brand. Like we say Brady, right? He's the next son. He's one of the Krafts.
Now, does he win a Super Bowl somewhere else right away? I don't know. There's a lot of factors that go into that. Do you have a quarterback? What team is it? What's on the roster when he gets there?
Bill would have to do something.
They wouldn't suck.
Right. And Bill would have to do something so egregious for Robert to fire him. I don't think Robert would fire him. Like, he wouldn't trade Brady. Trade Gronkowski. Won't fire Belichick.
I don't know what he would do that would get fired. I don't know how he could possibly get fired.
That's what I'm saying. What? Because you had an argument over who to keep? That happens. That's personnel decisions. What are you going to fire him because he got angry because you stepped into football operations?
I don't know what it would take.
It's more Bill wanting to check out than Robert firing him.
I don't know what that would take.
I don't think Bill being fired is ever going to be in play.
Gus in Texas. We don't get too many calls from Texas. How you doing,
Big
Gus?
Down there.
How y'all doing today?
Hey, how y'all?
So everybody's talking about Bill outlasting Brady, and my question is, he's avoided signing any truly free agents this year and only signing players that have been released from their contracts so he can keep his compensatory picks next year. Is this possibly a play on him to truly look 3 to 4 years down the road from the extra picks this year plus the extra picks next year and turning around and saying, in essence, screw you, Brady, I'm going to outlast you.
This is what we're talking about.
Look at the tight end you signed.
I think that's very possible.
They got this tight end. It's Troy Nicholas. Like, some people never heard of him.
Building
block type tight end. 2014, he's been in the draft.
He'll be the guy that replaces Gronkowski in 19.
Nah, he's not really a pass catcher. He's more of a blocker.
I know nothing about him.
I don't know a damn thing about him.
I'm just throwing that out.
I've been told it's like a Langle pick or remember Mike Williams, the big tackle slash tight end, played a little bit of both. Caught a pass, actually, from Brady on a drag. His name was Mike Williams, right? Am I right, Jim?
Yeah. Got him for the Lions.
Yeah.
It's that type of pick. So here we are. We're going back to 3 years ago. It's what we tried to do. Get Mike Williams. I mean, does that make Dwayne Mallon nervous? I don't know. There's no Bennett.
But it's a long view. Well, it's a long view. And that doesn't. That just doesn't seem to me like Bill's doing that for somebody else.
Right.
So that Josh can have success or the Patriots organization down the road can have success without him. I know there's a legacy angle there, but he strikes me as a guy that is not going to go away quietly. And he's on a mission to outlast everybody.
Yeah.
Outlast them all.
Aren't you okay with that, Beetle?
Yeah. I mean, it's long-term, it's great. Long-term, it's really good for the team. It's really good for us. Absolutely. That he's on a mission and he's not going anywhere. But I told you, man, the longer he's here, the better we all are. It's just the truth. Because once he's gone, then you really don't have much going on. I mean, you're just like every other team at that point is what you are.
Right.
Yes, I think Josh McDaniels could definitely be a good head coach. I like Josh McDaniels a lot. He is not Bill Belichick.
The more and more you hear the nose to the grindstone stories with Belichick and how invested and doing all the due diligence, you feel better and better about the shape your football team's going to be in. Regardless of who he brings in, I don't know who he's going to draft. I have no clue. Here in defense,
building back up the defense. So that would mean not trading up for a quarterback.
Yeah.
Either one is a long-term play.
But you need a tackle, too. Go get a tackle. There's some tackles in this draft.
Draft picks on defense would help the team sooner.
Yeah. Yep.
We are live at Lucky Strike Social.
We're not dead. We're live here.
Got people
rolling the old cue balls.
Those aren't cue balls. There. No. Not cue balls. Those are bowling balls.
Ooh. I like to roll some balls.
So there's that going on here as we get ready for opening day. We are at, again, Lucky Strike Social, just behind center field, Fenway Park.
Come down here. It's cold. This place is huge. You can be warm. Have some hot chocolate. A little minty.
Yeah. Is that what you're going for?
Foam on top?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there's the bowling pins.
The bowling pins are on the move, so that's happening.
I just want to beat the hell out of them.
Come see us. Come stop here on your way to the game. In fact, why don't we talk a little Red Sox? 90 seconds from now, after Hardy's headlines, the Red Sox and their level of fun. That's next.